tuned to the Human Frequency on American Freedom Radio. This is your host, Sharon, coming to you from the rain-soaked mountains north of Los Angeles on a beautiful spring night in Southern California. And I'm here with my co-host, Gabriel.
Hello. I'm glad to be here. I'm feeling very good, not just because of the rain, but the fact that Sharon and I saw Vaxxed last week, and we had to search with a fine-tooth comb to find a theater that was actually showing it. And we got one that was their last day of playing it. So we just made it, but we saw the film. It's a wonderful film, and I'm encouraging people to go out and check it out. And I'm sure the fact that it's getting banned left and right from every single theater is just an incentive for people to want to see it more, right?
Certainly. I mean, it's even more incriminating evidence against the pharmaceutical companies. What I liked about the movie was that it was very non-hysterical. It was very sensible. It was about one vaccine, the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella. It was about the studies on that one vaccine and the victims, the children who suffer from autism and the families that have to live with a child with autism. So I thought it was a very sensible look at the vaccine issue. I definitely recommend it. I don't know where you could see it now, but hopefully it'll be available online sometime soon.
Or on VHS or something like that.
Well, we have an awesome guest with us today, the great Vinnie Eastwood, host of the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on American Freedom Radio. We're fans of his show and honored to share a network with him. Vinnie, welcome to the Human Frequency, and thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be tuning in here. I've got my forked all pricked. I don't even know what that means. Sorry, I'm very tired.
Is that New Zealand lingo?
No, it's actually just gibberish, and I totally messed it up.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's what happens when you have a big toke right before the show, I guess. Well, anyway, Vinnie, we're very excited that you're here with us. We love your show. And you got your start similarly to how we did as an activist. And I just wanted to ask you a little bit about how you got started out as a street activist. And
well, hold on. First things first.
Okay.
First things first. Let's ask the question that's on everyone's mind here. Are you related to Clint Eastwood?
I don't know for certain. I think my mum, I have a vague memory of her saying, is he related or anything? But I don't know. But
okay. You probably.
The most famous person I know that I am related to is Lucy Lawless, the Xena warrior princess.
Huh.
First cousin.
Hey, that's pretty good genetics.
Yeah.
Really? So are you a superhero too then?
Well, you know, I try to pretend to be. The thing about being a superhero sometimes is like Batman, for example. He doesn't have any superpowers. He's simply the world's greatest detective. I like to pride myself on being the world's greatest conversationalist. I can have a conversation with anybody on radio and it'll be fun.
That's awesome. Well,
Batman's belt is pretty handy. He's got a lot of interesting little gizmos and gadgets in that thing.
When I was a salesman, I had a metal belt buckle that was in the shape of a $100 bill.
Well, Vinnie, I'm really curious about how you got your start, because we've been listening to you for a long time on your show, and I know you started out like we did, on the street as an activist. So how were those early days? What issues were you most into? How'd you get your start?
It was primarily cannabis activism, because maybe in retrospect, I think this only really occurred to me yesterday, is that activism will only really be awakened in somebody when they have a personal experience. And that personal experience might be something a loved one goes through, or it might be them going through it themselves. It doesn't matter what it is. They could be getting screwed over by the city council. They could have been on drugs or anything. For me, it was getting busted with a little bit of weed. I had 13 grams of cannabis, and I was going to go to jail for up to 8 years for a first offense with no possibility of diversion, full confession, guilty plea, and everything like that. And yeah, that was pretty scary, so it kind of shook me up, considering when the cops told me that if I was honest with them, they would go easy on me.
Right.
Womp, womp.
Oh, that's classic, you know. It's like worst trauma of my life. I had my first panic attack in the cells and everything. I didn't know what would happen. I couldn't breathe, and it was, oh my God. Don't even really like to talk about it because it's such a freaking painful experience. Mm. So that shook me up. Had to move back in with my mom, and through these traumas, you start to look at the world a little bit differently. And I started to think, well, what can my world, my place in the world be now? Because I wanted to be a filmmaker and go to America, but now I'm a convicted drug dealer, so I can't actually leave New Zealand ever for the rest of my life, apparently. So
I think that could change. I think as the paradigm shifts and these false power structures crumble, I see you here in the U.S. one day.
I don't know about you.
I mean, if you want to come here.
I don't know about you, but I'm seeing like two pieces of legislation being passed every single day in the New Zealand Parliament, maybe three or four of them passed every single day through Congress and getting ratified. I just see it all mounting up and piling up on both sides of the fence, really. I think we haven't suffered enough yet to know what a crumbling power structure actually looks like. People who are from former Soviet Russia know what that looks like. Somebody with an average life expectancy of 42 years old for males in Russia now. This kind of thing is something that changes you and changes your perspective on life. And unless you have actually gone through loss, pain, trauma, suffering of an enormous nature and then come out the other side of it, it's very, very unlikely that you'll change what it is you're doing and what you think is your general direction in life, because often those general directions in life that people take are not of their own devising. They're just a subset of influences from all the things that are around you. Now, that could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. I was lucky that a lot of very interesting, intelligent, and well-to-do people were in my life pretty much at all times, positively influencing me and helping me out when I stumbled and fell. But I think without that suffering, without that pain, I would have continued to go on thinking that I was invincible. And
yeah, well said. And I've noticed that too, that oftentimes it takes a catastrophe like that to get people to really, you know, start peeling back the layers and looking into things. And it's unfortunate that it takes something so jarring like that. But I have noticed that as well.
Well, we live in a world where it's like one trauma after another, right? Yeah. I mean, we're being poisoned, you know, in the water, the food, the air. Laws, as Vinny said, there are like more than two laws being made every day. I mean, the United States has like, I think, hundreds of thousands of laws. It's ridiculous. But is your government there? Is your government there as oppressive as here, I wonder? I figure it is. I figure it's the same everywhere. And also, are there reptilian shapeshifters in your government like we have here in the United States?
Well, interestingly enough, I interviewed a man who was doing a UFO documentary, and just as a joke, he emailed the Prime Minister's office. Is the Prime Minister John Key part of a reptilian overlord race here to enslave humanity? And
yes.
Being an official information act request, they actually are required by law to go and check his records, his birth certificates, and everything like that. and they come back and they go, we can neither confirm nor deny that John Key is a reptilian overlord planning to enslave the human race.
Well, at least it's honest. At least, you know, they looked into it.
Hey, I admire that. I admire that.
They say Hillary is a clone and or a shapeshifter.
Hillary Clinton?
I tend to... Exactly, hey. Yes. I tend to stay out of...
I am Clonton.
No, Kissinger is a reptilian shapeshifting humanoid. Clinton is a clone. That's my information.
And Obama, anyway, I believe, also is a clone.
Yes,
but clone. I'm not completely sure.
Well, I've come to the deduction.
But let's...
Trump has a shaitel to end all shaitels, so
I've come to the deduction that making your audience afraid of things that they can't actually see right in front of them and they can't actually really do anything about, even if they could, is that they'll give you their money. So I've come up with a new marketing campaign. Ladies and gentlemen, donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, or the Reptoids will get you.
That ought to scare them. We've had plenty of talk about the reptilians here, so I know somebody who's seen them. We had a guest on the show who's actually met them, and it was a terrifying experience, so I'm sure that that will scare your listeners.
Yeah, see, but he didn't use that ultimatum as a marketing ploy, so I think you're first in line for that one, I must say. Well done.
Yeah, and for the more conventional, if you don't donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the Rothschilds will get you.
Well, everybody donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's an awesome show. We're big fans. Vinnie has great guests every week. Donate to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Or the Rothschilds will get you. And if they drop the ball, I'm sure the Rockefellers will pick up the slack at some point. So,
I mean, it's a team effort.
That's right. Go team.
Well, Vinnie, a couple of your favorite, of my favorite episodes of yours were the Counseling for Truthers episodes, because you spoke exactly to my concerns, and I'm sure many other people. I talk to people who know what's going on, and they're all extremely frustrated all the time. So what is your best advice to help those that are wide awake and seeing their families and friends in a deep stupor and very frustrated?
I'll answer the question by telling a story. I called up Radio Live, it's the second biggest radio network in New Zealand kind of thing, and talked to Mikey Havoc. He's like a DJ here, and he used to do TV shows and things. And he was talking about 9/11, on 9/11. And he said to me, yeah, but Vinny, there's a lot of people who start researching into this 9/11, and then they start, you know, getting a bit paranoid, and they don't leave home or anything like that. And I go, yeah, but you believe 9/11 wasn't, you know, according to the official story, right, Mike? And he's like, yeah. And I go, but you're socially active. You go around, you do DJ sets and things like that. You know, you're productive. You revolve around in different social circles, right? Yeah. So you haven't been sitting alone or by yourself in a family that doesn't support your views or anything like that. And it also haven't maybe no variations and that kind of thing. The same thing that happens to maybe a friend of yours that gets driven crazy by the truth. You know, it could happen to anybody. And it just depends upon how many people are there in their social circle, because it doesn't matter how many times you research into what conspiracy or whatever. Don't forget that right here, right now, is still going on. And if you forget that, then you'll get lost in your head, and you'll get lost in these conspiracies, and you won't have a hands-on approach about what you can really do about things. Like, take a look at your own personal skill sets, your own personal history. What are your traumas? What are your likes? What are your dislikes? What are your skills, etc.? So I go, I don't like authority. I am a loudmouth person, and I'm narcissistic, and I like to hear myself talk. And I also like to have really interesting conversations, and I can't be bothered listening to boring people on talk radio or on YouTube not talking about anything of any relevance while this ruthless, criminal, sociopathic, multinational corporate scumbaggery taking over the freaking planet. Okay.
Right.
So naturally, I took my $22,500 worth of shopping vouchers that I got as a bonus from my job that month, and I bought a computer and a camera, and I quit my job and started going out to film protests and public meetings and things like that. You know, I saw the problem, I saw the lack, because there was no alternative media here in New Zealand. But to a large degree, there still isn't. I mean, there's people on web and blogging, that's easy, but to do radio and video production and to do it regularly in New Zealand on your own dollar and your own dime, and having it all published up online and spread round and on YouTube and everything, no, there's actually kind of nobody else at this point. So I've found myself in that position for a number of years now, and I'm a very selfish person, and I don't like that about myself, so I try to do acts of selflessness to keep the demons at bay. So because I'm like the one with the 27,000 YouTube subscribers, and everybody else has like got, I don't know, couple of thousand between them in terms of the good activists here in New Zealand. I invite all those good activists here in New Zealand on my radio show, put them on my YouTube, go to their protests, film their things and what have you, and I fulfill a role in the community. Because it doesn't matter if you go out and you do your activism, if nobody sees it and there's nobody there to witness it and there isn't a record of it to a large degree. I mean, it's good to go out there, feels good, and you're doing something, it's better than nothing. There's residual effects, ripple effects that come off of it, sure. But if you've got a video, it makes it so much better because you can relive it and also people around the world can relive it and be inspired by your actions.
And that's why you're reaching so many people. You actually reach a lot of people here in the U.S. You have a lot of fans here. And in fact, all over the world. I have a friend who was a big fan of yours in Japan, and now she's here in the United States. So your message is definitely reaching a lot of people. And the work you're doing is, I would say, you know, a lot cleaner and higher definition than what a lot of American independent media are doing. It's very well presented. So I appreciate the way you're able to get out these very kind of less obscure now, but I would say obscure issues to new audiences.
It's in terms of the cleaner and more professional, et cetera, that's actually up to two people's influence. That's the former producer, Mitch Santel, who runs Big Reggae Mix and they're a sponsor of American Freedom Radio now. He's the producer for them. And also Danny Romero, who runs American Freedom Radio. These guys were like, they're sticklers for quality, right? And it's sort of like a pencil sharpener, you know, if you've got a dull pencil and it just can't write properly. And these guys will grind you down for a little bit, very gently, until you're very, very sharp and you know exactly what to do in order to sound decent, at least. And a lot of people don't take their advice. A lot of people don't appreciate being told what to do. Some people, on the other hand, have a look and go, how much experience have these guys got? 10, 20 years in Hollywood, producing Truth or Talk Radio for nearly 10 years. And the biggest names in the business gave their first radio shows to. I think I'll take their frickin' advice about what sounds like good talk radio, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and hence, you know, why American Freedom Radio is so freaking great, man. I don't know if anybody else has ever had this experience, all right? It's like a testometer. If you can tune into any particular radio network at any time of the day or night and have something playing that's really interesting, it's like, man, I can dig this. That is special. That hasn't been done before.
I mean, you really can tune in any time, and I love that too. And I'm honored to be a part of it. I started out on a small network. Well, it was a network owned by Mike Adams called TalkNetwork.com. It was very short-lived, very brief. And I was so excited when Danny contacted me because I was a big fan already. So it's amazing. I love to be here.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like, what happened with that? Because, oh, man, Santilli. I don't like bringing up that guy either.
tell the story, darling.
Well, okay, Vinny, I can tell you what happened. A network started. My good friend Dean Ryan, who has worked with InfoWars, Natural News, Coast to Coast, he's worked with so many amazing people. He had the idea to revitalize the Natural News radio network.
The real Dean Ryan on Twitter, by
yeah,
the way.
If you want to check him out, the real Dean Ryan on Twitter. He had the idea to revitalize the Natural News radio network, which was only really having one show at that point, the Robert Scott Bell Show, which was a great show on health, but there wasn't much else going on. So Dean set this network up with the help of a couple of other people, and it was brilliant. He got amazing people on there, amazing content. It wasn't live like American Freedom Radio, but we would produce the shows and then they would air them. It was awesome. It lasted for a few months. We put out some great material, and then they just basically pulled the plug on us and said, from now on, we're just going to podcast our favorite stuff. You could submit it. We'll pick and choose. So our scheduled programming ended at that point. And that's the short story.
Have you ever noticed that it's kind of like when you drug test employees, they feel like they're not being trusted to just live their own lives kind of thing and just produce the thing that they're supposed to?
Do they do that in New Zealand, the drug testing?
Oh, yeah.
They do it here, too.
Yeah, I'm willing to test any drug that they throw my way.
I don't want to pee in a cup for a job. It's demeaning.
Mm. Well, it's just you need to be able to trust the people that that work for you, and the people that work for you need to be able to trust the people that employ them. And in this case, and I like the voluntarism thing because I'm employophobic. Oh yeah, yes. I can't. I can't go to job interviews or do work and follow orders and things like that. I have panic attacks if somebody actually tries to get me to do that kind of stuff. So
I hear you on that one. I totally am the same.
You know, and it's like, man, I'm allergic to being a slave. Bugger. That makes survival actually quite difficult, isn't it? Because what
certainly does.
What sustains most people's life? Their form of servitude, you know? They've got to go to work so that they can buy their own lodging and buy their own food and take care of their own health and also then just go straight back to the plantation again. Who was it? It was Stephen Hughes. He says, you know, it actually takes a lot of effort to keep somebody forcibly a slave, right? With a gun pointed at him all the time. So a couple of guys got together and they go, hey, why don't we just give these guys $2.50 an hour and just tell them to bugger off? Hey, you're all free now. We'll see you here tomorrow at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly. I couldn't hang with it. I never can last at a job more than 6 months, it seems. And I quit my last one a while back, and I don't intend to go back. I'd rather live on nothing than go back to working. And I really now understand where homeless people are coming from. It's better in a way to be homeless than to deal with that.
Well, usually you take acid and then you quit the job shortly thereafter.
That's what I used to do. In my 20s, I used to, you know, have a trip. And then immediately the next day when I came down, give notice at my job. It's happened so many times, I can't even count.
Well, so
I can't even count.
Did you get a tax write-off? Did you qualify that as a business trip?
What, the LSD trip? You know, for whatever taxes I was paying at that time in my life, I think I earned so little that the IRS didn't even see me. But we have ways around them now.
Yes.
We've learned some good things.
And we've had some revelations, certainly. And yeah. Speaking of revelations, Vinny, you had a revelation of sorts about the term sheep. And I wanted you to talk about that with the folks who are listening, because we've gone through a very similar thing recently. But can you expound on that further?
Of calling people sheep.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So... anybody here know the whole truth of the universe? No? Okay. Anybody here know the whole truth of the universe from birth? No? You know the truth
you mean
about
that we're,
everything? Do you know everything in existence? You know, so on and so forth. So no, nobody does.
Probably not.
So, all right. So what happens is you come from being a worker slave that doesn't know that they're a worker slave to a worker slave who knows that they are and tries to convince everybody else that they are, but they don't want to hear it because they're still convinced that they're just free, right? No, you're not free, you're a slave. Wouldn't that piss you off?
Well, we'd rather just lead by example.
Right. I don't try to convince anyone anymore. But we have the same revelation about, you know, maybe they just are learning this at their own pace. So
as frustrating as that pace may be to us, it is nonetheless their own pace.
Much as the reptilians kill us at a slow pace.
That's right.
So they have time to learn.
If you had a van full of people, the elderly, young, and fit and healthy, right? And you said, all right, everybody, out of the van as fast as you can. And all the people who start going slow, you say, you got to be faster, and start giving them a hard time about it. It's kind of cruel, isn't it?
A little bit.
Kind of a little high and mighty,
you mean, like,
isn't it?
If it's a clown car, if it's a clown car and there are many of them and it's really small, and is it something like that?
Oh, I could so slip in a porno reference here, but I'm not going to because this is a children's show. I think that we get to a feeling of superiority, and as soon as you start giving in to that feeling of superiority, that's when it gets you, all right? And what is getting you is this, a very, very scary form of hatred for your own fellow man, a form of blame to feel that they are to blame for the machinations of the elite via their participation, whilst not acknowledging your own participation in it as well, and hence the hypocrisy. We're all hypocrites, right? I've got a saying, history makes hypocrites of us all. And if you're trying to achieve enlightenment, and anybody who's talking about conspiracy with any sort of serious hat on, or otherworldly entities, etc., is seeking enlightenment, is seeking truth, and they're not willing to just say, okay, I've Googled the one truth, and I found a religious website, here it is. And I'm not kidding, go Google the one truth, and you'll just have a 200,000 religious website come out, all saying that they've got the one truth.
Exactly. They're the ones that know. Every religion thinks they know the answer.
Okay.
I've had to deal with that a
so
lot.
So the person who's actually seeking enlightenment doesn't want to just slap their hand down on the table and call it now, right? A person who seeks enlightenment is patient. A person who seeks enlightenment is tolerant. Is it overly enlightened to call somebody a sheep? You know?
It's not a very nice thing to say. I don't do it anymore, actually.
Well, we'll do it from time to time, or we'll think it from time to time, and we'll subtract it for other things. Like, we don't call them sheep, we call them stupid or something like that. And it's like,
well, actually, I have a new one. It's not judgmental, it's brainwashed, which I don't think is judgmental. It's just a fact.
Yes, however, I was at a party one time, and one chick, she said something that was just really rude to me, like her opinion or whatever, and she just said, I'm just honest. And it's just like, well, there's a difference between being honest and just being really rude, you know? There are ways to go about things, I think, that are far more productive. Antagonizing people, I find, over many times trying to do it, is actually quite counterproductive when it comes to a relationship, you know? Hey, here's this person I don't know coming at me who's trying to fuck with me. Am I going to be real nice to them? Am I going to get along with them? Am I going to, you know? It's because you don't want anything positive out of the relationship if you're going after people, attacking them and calling them the sheeple and stuff and laughing at them, all right? I had this idea for a movie where Earth was invaded by really, really stupid aliens who had really pathetic tactics and faulty technology, and humanity was just able to mop them up, just slaughter them. It was actually became like a game because it was so easy. And the point of the movie is to display how we treat people who we think are less than us, who we treat as an other, and what kind of atrocities we're willing to commit to people we think are not like us, that are slaves just like we are.
Well, all I can say is I'm still waiting for that porno reference.
Don't be a dick, bro. See, I did manage.
Too late.
No. You see, I did manage to insert it eventually.
Well, there's another porno reference.
He inserted it.
Yes. Where's Beavis and Butthead when you need him?
I recently watched some Beavis and Butthead, and you know what was a revelation to me? How, you know, that dick and fart jokes are still incredibly hilarious when you're an adult.
It never stops being funny.
Nope.
And I mean, if you just say the word brown, it makes me laugh. So,
or pants.
Pants, that's pretty funny.
Instant
too.
Comedy.
So we are huge Beavis and Butthead fans, by the way. I mean, I love that show. I've got this great stash of episodes that somebody very nicely Dropboxed to everybody until they got shut down for copyright infringement.
Seven seasons of 90s glory.
And it's hard to find any episodes with the videos because all the DVD sets don't have the videos. So this one has the music videos. So you don't miss any of the amazing stuff. Anyway, I bet you're very jealous of us. I can Dropbox them to you too.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. I found them through another round.
Oh, good. Okay. So you have the videos and everything.
Absolutely. I totally illegally downloaded them.
So did we. So there you go.
Okay.
You know, Here's the thing.
Have you noticed how if certain laws don't make any sense anymore, because it's like the cannabis laws, for example? They don't make sense because everybody breaking them all the time. You know, you can't have laws that can't be enforced.
Mm. So here in California, it's basically legal. I mean, it's legal medicinally, and up in Washington, it's totally legal, and in Colorado, it's totally legal.
Yeah.
So I would say our laws are not as harsh. What is it like there in New Zealand?
We have
currently.
You know the term per capita. You know, like if you got 1 in 100 people from any country or whatever, New Zealand per capita spends the most on enforcing the drug laws, jails the most people for it, and catches people more often for it than anywhere else on earth.
What do you think is the reason for that? Is that all financially based?
Well, I recently interviewed a New Zealand police officer and who'd just come out of the force, right? Just sort of like telling me about the protocols. And it's like a feather in the cap kind of thing. You get, like in sales, for example, incentives to go out and do something. Now, in the police, they don't have incentives that are monetary based, but they have incentives that are social based. For example, I got three, oh, I got four, mate, you know, that kind of thing.
So they're arresting people for brownie points, and that's it?
Destroying people's lives for fun and amusement, because the job itself is so boring that the brain has to turn it into a game and turn these real human beings that you are being forced by your own duty to subjugate, even when you don't want to, right? It's a really difficult thing to describe when I only talked to him like the once, because people forget that cops are still people, politicians are still people, some of them, you know.
The ones that aren't reptilians,
you know, the quote unquote sheeple are still people, right? Unless they're actually in active league with evil, all right? Unless they're actively just going, I worship David Rockefeller. Oh, I think we need more vaccines. That kind of evil.
Mono?
Then there's room for redemption. Okay, you know, what was it they said in X-Men? Just because somebody stumbles and loses their way doesn't mean they're lost forever. Have a bit of faith and have a bit of patience with people, and don't be a dick to them, you know, because it doesn't help. And that's basically the straightforward rules of the game, and why you don't call people sheeple or stupid or start trolling them and being a dick in general, because it just don't help, and it corrupts you from within with your own internal form of scumbaggery that we all have. It's just sitting inside there like some kind of embryo waiting to gestate. As soon as you frickin' let go of your compassion for humanity and for other people, and of watching your own actions to make sure you're not becoming the very enemy you seek to destroy, if you lose attention on that, you're lost forever.
That is an amazing point, because so many people take on an issue or they feel that they know something, and then they'll get the superiority complex and feel like, I know truthers do it. I've seen, you know, liberal people do it. I've seen animal rights activists do it. I've seen everybody do this. But I saw a good example of this in the film Chimatica, which we just watched the other night, although it's an older film. It's the sequel to Esoteric Agenda. And they brought up the point about animals being harmed. And this is a horrible act when people harm animals unconsciously. They don't even realize what they're doing. But then the animal rights activists that will advocate harming the people who harm animals, they're falling victim to the same
stooping
mentality.
To the same level.
Are we wondering about the consequences of our actions before we take them? Are we putting ourselves in something else's shoes, right? I saw a bit of sci-fi stuff, and they talked about this kind of like this race of creatures that had like 1,000 times somebody's intelligence. And he tried to describe what having 1,000 times someone's intelligence is like. And I thought it was quite interesting. Let's say you've got a beer bottle in your hand. And this is the example I used to my mate to explain it. And you don't just see the bottle because you're too smart for that. You see what the bottle's made out of. You see where it comes from. You see what elements are in its composition. You see its entire story, every particle from wherever it came from, its whole history, every conceivable chemical compound that it could have ever become a part of. You see all that just when you've got a beer in your hand, right? Start thinking like that, or start trying to think like that a little more, and you'll start to realize that you fit into a much greater picture, that your actions affect others a lot more than you realize. Being mean to someone can really mess up their day, and they might do something nasty to somebody else during that day and set off this whole other chain of events, like the butterfly effect. That's why I don't like people who are shilling fear out there. I don't like that kind of vibe. That's why I like to tell jokes and talk about real enlightening shit, because it stops that kind of fear from taking root. It dispels it, even when you're talking about scary things.
Wow, that's absolutely correct. What would you say is personally your top issue of concern in the world right now?
I don't know. I've ceased giving up various levels of, oh, this is more important or that's more important, because I had so many people commenting on it. Vinny, why did you make a video about Pete Santilli? Isn't there more important things to make a video on? Vinny, why did you make a video about climate change? Isn't there more important things to make a video on? You know, so on and so forth. Doesn't matter what the hell you do. Everybody's going to say something else is more important. You know, what I find important is the only thing that you don't know the value of until it's gone, the only thing you can't replace once you lose it, and the only thing that actually ever really has had value, and the only thing that ever really will. People. You got billionaires and things like that. They got all the cars. They got all the houses. They got all the porno and all the whores and all the coke and whatever they want. But they're freaking miserable because they don't have any real friends. They don't have anybody who really loves them. They have nothing because they don't have any real connections with people.
All their enjoyments come from this 3D world, which is so, it's just, it ends. It doesn't last. You can collect and collect money and things, but you will leave this world naked.
Can't take it with you.
Exactly.
I was just wondering about it. Why are generous people always poor and rich people often dicks?
I think the rich people just hoarded everything for themselves. Right. You know, we live in an inverted world. I mean, we talk about the inversion all the time on this show. Everything is upside down. What's wrong is right. What's right is wrong. So people are rewarded for psychopathic behavior. because humanity is being completely manipulated by psychopathic ET race for 26,000 years. That's my humble opinion.
Give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Roughly. It could have been 100,000 or...
Sure.
Okay. And what's the other thing? Okay. Imagine if somebody actually came up to you and tried to give you like a full-on download of everything that you currently know that you spent over the last couple of years. You'd have freaking brain aneurysm, wouldn't you?
For the last couple of years, way too much. I've learned way too much in the last couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, nobody forced you to become a truther, did you? Nobody forced you to stop becoming a sheeple, did you? You sat down and you started reading or watching documentaries and listening to shit. I mean, fuck, mate. You can't put a gun to somebody's head.
It just happened.
Either or, man.
Yeah.
All right. The rabbit hole has many cracks. And you can get in through any one of those cracks. It doesn't matter whether it's you see something dodgy going on in religion, or you see something really out of whack in science, or you see something really, really not going on correctly in the local city council. It's all connected, not ostensibly to the same people, the same organizations, or anything like that. It's connected only by one subject matter. And the subject matter I chose to make my career, scumbaggery. All right, the actions, motives, and portents of a scumbag. And there's a heck of a lot of scumbaggery. And because, you know, I was out of the job and employophobic, I figured, you know what? If I make my career scumbaggery, I've got job security. You know, what, are we going to run out of scumbaggery? I don't think so.
Not a chance. Right. Not a chance.
It's very valued in our society. It's actually glamorized. I think scumbaggery is glamorized in the media. I think that villains are glamorized. You know, people that kill for money and things. Drug lords. These are the people that are glamorized.
Hey, that's in a Morrissey song when he says, in our lifetime, those who kill, the news world hands them stardom.
Exactly. So that's the way it is in an inverted world.
Right.
If everything's the opposite of what you've been taught it is, then am I the bad guy? That was a thought I had one time. And I realized that I am the bad guy masquerading as a good guy, right? I'm a selfish narcissist. And what's every psychopath? They're also selfish narcissists. But I'm not a psychopath. I've still got empathy and love for people and things like that. I've just got a personality disorder as all. But it allows me to do lots of interesting things, like think exactly like those scumbags and know exactly what they really pisses them off. And there's people making fun of them.
Oh, and they hate exposure, too, don't they?
Oh,
they hate
that.
Yeah, if you expose them for what they are, that is the worst for them.
Oh, man.
My wake-up call was the chemtrails. That's what led me down the rabbit hole. And actually, I was wondering, after your arrest, you know, the marijuana laws were your wake-up call. But what came next? Like, how did you start to go down the rabbit hole of truth into where you are today?
I would say that cannabis is probably one of the most interesting rabbit holes, because if you interview anybody who's a cannabis expert, like Arik Rice, who made the documentary Drug Lord, or what was his name, Kevin Booth, who made American Drug War, you can hang out with them for days, weeks, months, years, and every single day, it doesn't matter what you're doing, they will show you something or teach you something new about cannabis and how it can be used to make or be used in your daily life, right? And what happened is, because I was smoking weed and watching conspiracy theory documentaries and researching into the industrial uses of hemp and that kind of thing, it sort of got this epiphany. Because when you're looking at the entirety of industrialized society being able to get saved and be made sustainably with one plant, then you start to realize that, hey, there's something much more global afoot here. It's not just happening in New Zealand. It didn't just happen to me. This is happening to thousands and millions of other people. And I read Michael Moore's book and watched a couple of his documentaries. And one time I saw this guy called Alex Jones trying to accost Michael Moore on his video and saying, yeah, you're a sellout, you know, like leering at him through the window. I was like, who the fuck is this guy, man?
Is that your first impression of Alex Jones? Mine was, this guy's completely whacked out of his gourd. That was my first impression.
Oh, yeah.
I can't get enough of him.
I know, I started watching him.
Exactly.
It took me a while because I thought it was nuts.
Exactly, and that's how they get you.
Do you think that Alex Jones has controlled opposition, by the way?
I don't know about controlled opposition. That would imply that he's actually in league with other people. He's got sponsors that have contracts with the defense operations. He's screwed over many different people over the years and been quite dishonest about a number of things. However, you know, you can't really take away what he's actually achieved. I mean, have you ever... we've all heard the story of Frankenstein, you know, he created a monster and the monster took him over and destroyed him, right? But the problem is, when you think about something as monstrous as, say, the InfoWars empire, you think about all the other people that have been influenced by its existence and have actually changed course in their life for the better through being exposed to it, and even through being exposed to it and then turning it off and kind of hoping that you don't really hear it much anymore. Man, I can't deal with another emergency update. No, I don't want to hear the most important broadcast you've ever done. Again, you did that yesterday as well.
And the day before that, and the day before that.
Well, no, I've gotten a lot out of InfoWars, actually. I have learned a lot from Alex Jones. That's sort of, you know, a few years ago for me at this point. But
I know there's a lot of fear there, but I learned a lot. Well, you know how they accuse marijuana of being the gateway drug? And it's not. It's alcohol, because most people try marijuana when they're drunk. And the
True. That is absolutely true.
Exhibits A, B, and C are present.
Yeah. But if some X, Y, and Z is present, that's also quite good. Some Waz. Waz. I love the fact that drugs have so many different strange names to keep the cops from finding out. It's funny, actually, talking about that cop that I interviewed. Their entire drug education part of police training consisted of one guy who wrote a book on it, like, back in the 70s, talking about this one time he went to Antarctica for about 45 minutes and then half of them falling asleep. That was the
Why would he talk about Antarctica?
Because he just trailed off because he's an old man who wrote a book full of lies in the 70s. I'm just taking a stab in the dark. I don't know for sure.
So, Vinny, we went through the DARE program here in the United States, Drug Abuse Resistance Education, where they have the cops come into your classroom in elementary school and scare the bejesus out of you about each drug. Do they do that in New Zealand, too?
If you smoke this, you're going to get hair on your back.
Well, one day in New Zealand, I want a really thug, scary-looking cop to come up to me after I just had a car accident and say, "Papers, please." And I go, what? And he goes, "Papers, please. You've just been in an accident. You look like you need a joint gun."
Did he really say that?
No. It's just a fantasy that I have. One day, I pray it will come true.
Right. Well, you know, here it's pretty much legal at this point. I'm not sure what the United States has to gain by legalizing pot, but whatever it is, I have a feeling they just want to get a lot of taxes out of it, because otherwise, why would they start to make it legal in different states? But, you know, whatever it takes, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. Ooh. The long game and the short game, as a truther, Think about how long the conspirators have been at work to keep weed legal or to get it legal or whatever. What all of these different schemes that are interlocking and interlaced, right? How long do you think they've been working on them? How many hours a day do you think they spend planning and maintaining and doing all this stuff? It's a freaking nightmare, isn't it? Must be. And we think that because we do one thing over here, you know, oh, I've got the solution. I've got the solution. I've got the way to beat the entire courts and stuff that'll only get me arrested and thrown in jail like four times before they eventually get tired of arresting me.
Right.
You know, it's just, I feel that people don't grasp the gravity of the problem that they're actually facing. Okay. If you're looking at this massive problem with your eyes wide open, it's the scariest thing you've ever seen in your life. That's what Alex Jones's documentaries do. And I haven't watched one of them in a while. And I think maybe there's a reason. Maybe I've kind of gotten over that fear. I know that it's scary. However, because it's not right in front of me, because there's consequences that are slightly apart and out of my reach, I don't feel fully responsible for the state of the world. And so I lapse myself into feeling better about the fact that, oh, I'm contributing to the truth movement and that kind of thing. When meanwhile, I'm just kind of like, I feel ashamed of myself a lot of the time. And I feel ashamed of my countrymen a lot of the time. The Vice News just did a study, and it turns out that they were studying like people's general ignorance about each other. It'd ask you a whole bunch of different sociological questions about your own country, like where you think your own country is. And New Zealanders were, in terms of the Western world, the furthest out of touch out of any developed nation with reality.
Wow, that might explain the oppressive legislation that you guys are dealing with over there. If people knew what was going on, they wouldn't allow it.
Well, if I told you that there was the SIS bill, the Search and Surveillance Bill, and it allows you as a officer to illegally, well, used to be illegal, surveil someone without a warrant for up to 3 days. That includes breaking into their house, putting in cameras and microphones, and just sitting there until they commit some kind of a crime. And that also includes after that 3 day period, if that person ever receives mail that's involved in a crime or anything of that nature, then they're also liable to be charged. All right, that's what you can do without a warrant. That's only the what you can do without a warrant in the real world. Easy peasy, mate. We got no rights in this country. We're a parliamentary sovereign democracy. What that means is no government can bind a previous government. So if one government decides, you know, let's throw out the Bill of Rights, you know, we're not using it anyway.
They could just do that.
They could if they wanted. It's a prime ministerial dictatorship. You can appoint your entire cabinet and change the way the country is run simply by winning an election. And it's incredibly easy if you're a criminal bankster scumbag like John Key, who used to work on Wall Street on the Federal Reserve Bank of New York in charge of derivatives for Europe.
Well, that's no surprise that now he's in government. Oh, Vinny, we're at the end of our first hour, so please let us know your website and where people can go to donate to your amazing radio show.
It's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news.
Excellent, Vinny. Thank you. You're listening to The Human Frequency on American Freedom Radio. Please check out our website, thekembo.com. We'll be right back with the great Vinny Eastwood after this. Welcome back to The Human Frequency on American Freedom Radio. We've got some very cool events coming up. I will be speaking at the Unurban Cafe for Los Angeles Skywatch on Saturday, May 28th. This event starts at 2:45 p.m. Maybe they're saying that to get you there on time.
On the dot.
2:45 p.m. at the Unurban Cafe in Santa Monica. I'm going to teach how you can live a chemtrail-free life. I'm going to teach how orgone energy cleans the sky of chemtrails and does so much more, neutralizes EMF and helps you with your health and your resting and relaxation.
That's 14:45 for all you people on military time.
And the weekend after, we'll be at Contact in the Desert in Joshua Tree, and that will be an amazing event. Gabe and I will have a table for all the Kembo, everything the Kembo, which is mostly Orgonite and orgone energy devices to help you neutralize EMF in your home, clean up your neighborhood, and return rainfall, see clean skies. Everybody's sick of chemtrails. Well, we have a solution to that. And we've seen it at work here in California. So please join us at Contact in the Desert. There will be great speakers like Jim Mars and Laura Eisenhower, Graham Hancock. It's definitely a winner. We are here with Vinny Eastwood today. And thank you again, Vinny, so much for joining us on The Human Frequency.
You're welcome.
Well, Vinny, we were talking a lot about, you know, people and their fear and how the world seems to be getting worse and worse all the time, but we've also seen some positive changes. I want to ask you what positive changes you've seen happening in the world in the last few years as far as people's consciousness and just improvements in general.
It's a pretty short list.
Really?
I don't know. I choose to be pessimistic because I find that, let's just say, having faith that the problem's going to be handled causes me to relax instead of contributing to solving the problem in my own way.
Do you choose to be pessimistic the same way Woody Allen does? Because half the time he's right and the other half of the time he's pleasantly surprised.
It's funny you should say that. It was a saying I used to say as well, but I didn't know Willie Allen came up with that. If you're really negative about life, half the time you'll be right, and half the time you'll be wrong, right? I don't think it's like half, is it? I think 99% of the time I'm wrong. Most of the time, it's a pleasant surprise. And sometimes I'm just so cynical that I'm just not surprised at all to learn that I'm wrong. It's weird, man. I don't feel that the truth is a solid thing. I think it's moving. What we know is the truth today might not be the truth tomorrow. But that doesn't mean the truth isn't the truth today.
That's true.
Yeah. People are just like, oh, but what if this happens and that happens and that happens? Yes, but this is happening right now. This requires your attention. This you can actually affect the outcome of today. Where are people's priorities? And the chemtrail phenomenon, for instance, we had a big one. Oh, I think it was on May the 5th. And I went out, had my camera running, and I had it synced to my GoPro as well. So had the camera taking time lapse of the chemtrail on my deck on a tripod, and I took the GoPro out to the local shops just with a little chemtrail sign, just to do a little bit of talking with the megaphone, maybe talk with a few people, wave the sign around, that kind of thing. Didn't really know what I was going to do, but it was fun to just get out there and actually do something while there was something to actually... What's a chemtrail? Oh, you see that right there? That enormous freaking thing that's jutting across the sky with the big rainbow proliferations that are coming out of it. That
it's look called like a Kembo.
Yeah.
It's called a Kembo.
I know. I also... this isn't another thing. I came up with the word Kembo independently as well. Do you know who invented the telescope? It was 9 different guys who never met, who lived on different sides of the earth, invented a type of telescope on the same night.
Must be the collective unconscious.
No.
They're all getting the same thoughts.
I think it's a signal. Our DNA is done in a spiral, much like an antenna that's called a fractal antenna. It can send and receive signals, you know, how we interpret certain hertz frequencies as fear or love, that kind of thing, using music.
That's right.
So I think that there's a latent... I like to use the word psionic energy. I don't know the technical term for it, but thoughts and genius and creativity, and it's all up there, just waiting to be downloaded by people. And there's some kind of synchronicity connection to that consciousness as well. If you're doing something that you think is right and you're sacrificing a lot, you'll find that out of the blue, these little things, these little helpers will come and pick you up when you're down. They'll pay your bills when you're broke. They'll do all of these things that you cannot do for yourself just so that you can continue what you're doing for the universe.
That's a beautiful thing. We've seen it too. We've had some great donations.
Seen it a lot.
People who really appreciate our sky cleaning work here.
Yeah,
come forward with donations.
We used to do that. We used to do what you did with the chemtrails and pointing them out.
We used to stand on the corner. We'd go to the farmer's market. We had signs. We would hold up signs at the traffic going by in Hollywood and point at the sky. And it was fun. But back then, we didn't have a solution to it. And now, since we have orgone energy, we're able to clean it up. So now we just teach people how to clean it.
Mm.
That might help you guys in New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, I've also found the interesting thing about going out and protesting chemtrailing is it's one of the least popular conspiracy theories. Like, you'll actually have people angry at you because you've got holding a chemtrail sign. You know, like, they're actually
Absolutely.
Angry. They'll swear abuse at you and all of that kind of thing. It's like, whoa.
They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to hear about chemtrails. We were at one farmer's market, and the cheese man, the guy that was selling cheese, he got really mad at us. Yeah. Everybody was pretty cool to us, but the cheese man got angry. He told us to get out of there and move away from his booth.
He got chased off, did he?
Exactly.
I bet you didn't see that one coming.
Roquefort. Can't sell Roquefort to the masses with the chemtrail people.
Yeah, we don't want to hear about that bad stuff.
Yeah, you should have tried to be nice to him. Oh, do you want a curdle?
Well, who knows what the chemtrails would do to his cheese.
So, that, you know. Yeah, that's right.
But we used to try to do that a lot, raise a lot of awareness of it. And we found that with chemtrails, as you said, it's an extremely unpopular issue. I'm just wondering about how it is there in New Zealand. Are you guys seeing it every day like everywhere else?
Not every day, no. It's difficult to tell because how often do you watch the sky and how often are you just inside looking at a screen or something like that?
So personally, I'm watching it all the time. But that's very rare.
Yeah. And you'd be like maybe... 1 in 1,000 people will be watching it all the time.
At best.
Maybe less.
Probably more like 1 in 1,000,000, really. I mean, people don't watch the sky.
Right, so in New Zealand, that would be 4 people.
All right. That puts it in perspective.
Right, so it's like that scene in Armageddon. And this big asteroid's coming, Mr. President. What do you mean a big asteroid's coming? We didn't see this coming. Well, our object collision budget's $1 million, and that allows us to track about 4% of the sky. And begging your pardon, sir, but it's a big ass sky.
Yeah.
That's an excellent American accent, Vinny. I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you.
That's a lot better than my Kiwi accent, which I won't even embarrass myself. Maybe another time.
That's a wise move.
All right, then. Well, then next...
One of the few.
Okay, so you're watching the sky. You're one of the very few people that notices. Now, have you seen any other strange things like UFOs up there?
Saw one this morning. There's these orb ones that float across the sky, and then they'll either disappear or they'll come down to land. I've only seen them twice in maybe the last 6 months. You can mistake them for stars, but if you're actually watching them, you see that they're actually moving, and they're a lot brighter, and they don't go along at like a set path or anything. Like they'll move along the same trajectory, but then they'll just stop for a second and then continue moving along that same trajectory. So can't be a satellite, can't be a star. I don't know what it is. And one time, I think it was my birthday, I was out at my sister's place up north, and one went from one edge of the horizon, and then before it got to the other edge of the horizon, it stopped and then went all the way down and behind the mountains and couldn't see it anymore.
Sounds like what we see here in California. We have a lot of orbs, especially in the LA area. There's actually a group that goes out. There's a meetup group for watching UFOs, and all the photographers with their really long lenses go out there and photograph them. And you're certain to see UFOs at this meetup. I've been to it many times, but I've seen loads of them too, just, you know, staring at the sky as I do. And they do look like stars sometimes. I've mostly seen them in the day, and they do the same exact thing that you described, Vinny. I've started seeing them for the past 2 years regularly. So something's going on up there, but who knows?
And I saw one at Splore as well. It was a music festival that my mate bought me a ticket. And we saw one up above the campsite again, you know. Same pattern, just tracking across the sky real slow and then stopping and then keeping going, you know, that kind of thing. It's just strange. You see them around every now and again, and they're not, you know, frightening or intimidating. They're just curious, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, most definitely. Well, in the work that we're doing with Orgone Energy, we've been studying Wilhelm Reich in depth, and he wrote a book called Contact with Space back in the 50s. And in his operations, in order to end drought, he was working on ending drought in the deserts of Arizona. He would stare at the sky all day, and eventually he saw the same thing that you said, stars, what he thought were stars, but then they would retreat and move around. And he reported it to the U.S. Air Force, and they sent him a questionnaire. Back, and this is back in the 50s, they sent him an elaborate questionnaire, and it had outlined every type of UFO that they thought was up there. And they said, did it do this? Did it flash? Did it stay still? Did it travel across the sky? So
did it move slowly? Did it move fast?
They already
knew.
Did
it split off into different, you know?
So the Air Force and the government has known forever about UFOs up there.
Mm.
So
yeah,
we're not being taught.
John showed me a video yesterday, Will Smith, and they went to the White House with his son, Jaden. And Jaden's like, Dad, we gotta ask him about the aliens, Dad. We gotta ask him about the aliens. He's like, no, don't, do not ask him about the aliens, okay?
Is that your
black? Wow, that's excellent, Benny.
In the situation room, and he's like, Jaden's got this look in his face, and I'm like, no, don't. And he's like, oh, Mr. President, he's like, wait, don't, it's the aliens, right? He's like, oh my God, he fucking got it in one, man. And he goes like, well, what I can tell you is that if there were aliens, we would have a meeting about it. And if we did have a meeting about it, it would have happened in that room right here. Jaden's like, oh my God. And he's like, you know, why do you think I make all those movies? You know, you think I make them about the aliens and shit if I didn't get briefed by the White House? Okay, I know stuff, but I just can't tell you.
Wow. Well, Vinny, I'm gonna take this a step farther and ask you about if you think our origins are alien, because you've had so many amazing guests on your show, and one of my favorites was Cameron Day. And I just have to ask you if you think that there's an alien interference in our lives, and if you think that our origins may be, in fact, alien, where we were actually bred by them.
Not 100% sure whether we were specifically bred by them, as Michael Tellinger believes that the slave species theories, there's evidence of an advanced civilization. Not 100% sure if it was extraterrestrial or if it was simply one nation in ancient times that developed really sophisticated technology and was able to go around conquering the Earth, but they had such advanced ways that the natives would just bow down to them, ignorant natives, as gods, and could enslave them that way. So I'm not 100% sure which way to go on it, because we're talking about ancient archaeology. And you know what's really difficult to work out when you're studying ancient archaeology, any of the history of the planet. Because a certain thing called the Library of Alexandria, which contained the history of the planet, got burned to the ground by the Romans.
750,000 volumes up in flames.
Okay, so...
That's pretty...
Anybody who wants to say this is the origin of our mankind without those 750,000 volumes to go through is throwing darts at a dartboard. All right. You know, to a large degree.
Are you saying we'll never know? We'll never, never know.
There's so many things we'll never know. All right. You ever love someone and they didn't love you back? And you'll never know how that relationship would have gone about. All right, that's something you'll never know. There's a lot of things we won't ever know. And how do you deal with that? How do you deal with questions that can't be answered? You can understand the ramifications of that wanting. Do you want that relationship to come to fruition? No, it can't. I want to know the origin of humanity, but I think because my life is finite and I have a limited amount of things that I can do, I mean, within reason, I have to figure out what's best for me rather than figure out exactly how I got here. Because how important is that versus where I'm going? I wonder if we were so introspective that we would think about our actions long before we took them, so long before we took them that we would stop acting at all.
That means creating no karma, because karma is an action. So when you don't act, you're not creating any karma.
Karma is cause and effect.
It is, and the actual word just means action, because when you do an action, it will have an effect. It is the cause and the effect, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So people,
I do
like
think
to say,
very carefully about those actions,
because I love the people who misinterpret what karma means and go, "Oh, good things happen to good people, and bad things happen to bad people." Okay, explain to me why David Rockefeller, the Rothschilds, and the Warburgs, and the DuPonts, and all of these other scumbag families in the world, who are the worst human traffickers, pedophiles, and demon worshippers that have ever existed in human history, recorded human history, apart from the 750,000 volumes. There could have been somebody with even more scumbaggery. We don't know. But
Hitler was quite a scumbag.
Yeah.
But there were many scumbags.
Sure.
Pol Pot.
Yeah. But they don't hold a candle because... those are the names you know. All right? It's the names you
don't
know.
They're the ones that the scumbags sponsored. They're the ones that the scumbags, you know, funded for war.
Yeah. All right? You know, don't blame the blade of the murderer for the murder. Blame the murderer. All right? They just use people as tools from their ivory towers and get their ends away. Pretty straightforward. If you were a billionaire and you didn't want to risk yourself because you're actually a coward and perhaps a parasite that has attached itself to a human host and infected the lower brainstem and feeds off of negative energy waves, so that you need fear and adrenaline and anger and chaos to be around your human host at all times so it can have the adrenaline rush that it needs from seeing suffering and pain and anguish so that the parasite can feed. Then you got a problem, because how do you face an enemy like that? How do you kill something who only grows stronger if you try to attack it and kill it, who can only feed off of anger and fear and rage, and fighting? How do you fight an enemy like that? You can't.
We have the tools. We have the tools for that.
By not fighting it on their terms.
Yeah, exactly. You have to fight it on your own terms. If you do it their way, you're just going to feed them. What we do is we just strip that away from our lives. We do so through elevating our consciousness and getting out of the 3D construct. That sounds very oversimplified. To explain what we do would take a long time, but we work with the life energy, orgone energy, discovered by Wilhelm Reich. This is the energy of our hearts.
Did,
the energy
did
of
Wilhelm
our
Reich's energy protect all his works and notes being burned?
It actually did. It actually did, because the
it
German
protected just enough.
It just enough. The German copies survived. It protected just enough that we have access to all his volumes today, at least in some form. For example, his most controversial book, Contact with Space, to get an original copy of that cost $4,500 on eBay. But you can get a Xerox copy of it from the Wilhelm Reich Trust for $50. So actually, I feel that something was watching out for him, because his work managed to survive that. He didn't survive. His physical body didn't survive. But if you believe in something beyond the 3D, then it went somewhere. He went somewhere.
It's a reset. Okay, here's the thing. If you have 1,000 lifetimes to live, and you can just transport yourself via a ritual sacrifice to another host, and you can continue to live throughout history, simply change your appearance, that kind of thing, you become obsessed with controlling and making sure that things don't really change, that people don't really figure out the stuff. And you become quite adept after a few lifetimes of suppressing uprisings and discoverers and scientists and that kind of thing. Not so that they can be suppressed forever, just so that they can be petered out, so that they can be snubbed out if necessary immediately, but so that they can be released very, very slowly, painfully, so that they can milk it, make money off of it, and cause fear and anxiety of not having enough and scarcity and things like that. See, this is what I talk about when I talk about the long game. And about knowing who your enemy is. And all people that want to do something about this world, who are doing something important, are contributing to one great goal that they don't even know that they're a part of. The goal of freedom, essentially. You guys are essentially contributing to a world that may one day be free, hopefully. So am I.
We are doing what we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's an old saying. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. And I think because people are like, we disagree about so many different things. I think sometimes we can just table the disagreements for another time, perhaps a time when we're no longer under the threat of enslavement or extermination by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery.
Well, Vinny, we're working very hard on ending global tyranny. And honestly, what we've found in our work is that since you can't convince people and you can't necessarily force anyone into anything, we've found that just by neutralizing the mind-controlling energy of cell phone towers around the state, which we have neutralized thousands of with organite pieces, we find great consciousness expansion in the population. It might seem like it's not happening when you're in Los Angeles, but
we just report on what we find.
we're doing a lot that of what we can do to change the energy, because I think a lot of why humanity is so downtrodden is because we are under attack constantly through chemicals and poisons and geoengineering and energy weapons.
And a frequency fence.
And the frequency is what we deal with. So that's why our show is called The Human Frequency, because we're involved in elevating the consciousness through stripping away the mind-controlling frequencies which are keeping us down. So that's just a little background on what we do.
And you have a motivation to do it that's somewhat akin to destiny, right?
I have no choice. It was chosen for me, and I'm very, very grateful for the path I've been given, yeah, as I'm sure you are too.
Well,
in the path of truth.
In retrospect, I quit my job because I realized I was getting paid a certain amount in order to rob myself of my own destiny.
That's what I did too. And it was really hard to do. It's hard to leave something secure. Then you realize you're secure, but you're a slave. that whole 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, that's designed to take away all your time. So you don't have time to even think about these things.
I'm a sick slave.
Do anything about them.
Yeah. Were you also in the 9 to 5 world?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, getting stuck in traffic really sucks. The other day I did it just for fun, and I was in traffic laughing at everybody else who was stuck in traffic because this was like a novelty for me. You're such a cruel bastard like that sometimes. I'm just joking. That never happened.
I get very, very annoyed when I'm stuck in traffic these days because I'm not used to it anymore. But we try to avoid Los Angeles except when we have to go there now. We live a little outside, so we've kind of escaped that. And I think part of it is learning to live with less. That's very hard for people, but learning to just take care of your needs. You don't need all that money or currency, which is, you know, worthless anyway. So I actually want to change gears really quick, Vinny. I've got 5 questions for you. Okay. 5 rapid fire questions. The answer is just yes or no.
No elaborations, just yes.
Just yes or no. Are you ready for the 5 questions?
Is that a yes or no question? Is that the first one?
No, that isn't. That's the bonus. So if you're ready, I'm going.
All right.
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay. Cannabis?
Yeah.
Nibiru?
Nah.
Bono?
Nah.
Global warming?
Nah.
Coffee enemas?
No.
Excellent, Vinny. You are a conspiracy theorist.
Yes. And for this, you get... Sharon, what does he get?
He gets to be called a conspiracy theorist.
Okay, there you go.
But I already was getting called a conspiracy theorist.
You could also,
but not yet by us.
And now you can also get an Organite from Team Kembo for your studio and home.
Yes.
Does the Organite also work during the day?
It works all the time. Night and day. Organite, Orgaday. Every day, Organite.
It's just Orgjus.
It's Orgjus. Okay, Vinny, you're twisting my brain into pretzel.
Okay, yeah, cut.
I get that a lot.
I'm sure you do. Well, I'm actually very, very curious. What is your family's reaction to your work? Do you get a lot of gruff? Do you get praise? Do you get something in the realm of lukewarm-ish neutral? Or what's going on?
Well, since I stopped being an Alex Jones addict talking about every crazy conspiracy that I was researching into that week and going out of my mind with fear, they're now all really proud of me.
Oh, that's so nice. Okay.
I mean, you know, people are always afraid of what they don't understand, and sometimes if you just focus on something you do understand and try to solve that problem and get really good at it, all the people around you that thought that you were just crazy because you were raving about all sorts of random stuff all the time see that you're actually achieving quite a lot and something unique. And something that is worthy of being proud of, not only for yourself, but for your family and your friends as well.
Okay, as long as you're not being tarred and feathered, that's all. I just wanted to be sure about that.
No, it's nice that they're supportive of you. I get mixed reactions from my family.
Oh, no, I didn't say supportive.
Oh, okay, never mind. Okay. Do they still think you're a raving conspiracy theorist, then?
Well, some of them are sort of like coming around. My brother's definitely done the loop. I remember one time I was driving him from the airport like a couple of years ago, might have been 2012, and he said, "Vinny, I just think you're maybe a little bit immature or something like that." And then driving him back to the airport recently, and he says, "You know, I couldn't be more proud that you're my brother, and I think Dad would be really proud of what you're doing too."
Well, that's nice. You know, my parents are surprisingly supportive of what I do. They don't understand it at all. And my dad says, "You really shouldn't talk about the government on the air." He's kind of scared. He doesn't want me saying bad things about the government. He thinks they're going to come after me. And actually, my mom worried for a while that I would get killed for talking. So in the way that...
Wouldn't say it in so many words, but you could...
She kind of alluded to it in a way that I knew that she was worried about my safety, to where I realize they know I'm speaking the truth, or they wouldn't worry. It's the same way that the Vaxxed movie was banned from so many theaters. I mean, it's got to have truth in her, or it wouldn't be banned, right?
I think she just in the same way too much.
Just in the same way that the FDA 60 years ago said Orgone Energy doesn't exist.
And
so
the
therefore, your books have to be burned because exactly. Orgone Energy does not exist.
But yeah, but because, the FDA, of course, being a very scientific organization, and scientific organizations have a long history of gathering together scientific material to burn, you know, because that's not religious or fanatical at fucking all, is it?
Well, people, they want to control history again, you know? They want to just wipe certain things off the slate.
Yeah. I mean, that's been going on for quite a long time, hasn't it?
Well, absolutely. Well, I feel like I know your opinion of this, so I want to ask you, because I'm not 100% sure, of your opinion of government, if anything can be changed through government, and can government be changed to work for us?
You know, sometimes you get a computer virus and... honestly, the virus is so bad, you just have to chuck the computer out and get a new one. It's not that bad, right? It's more just like pressing the reset button. Like, it's frozen, it don't work. Okay, let's start over. That'd be quite interesting. What if we have the same society that we got now, except no debt? Ever. That'd be cool. And
but how
no
would the
problems.
Economy run without debt?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the question is, the economy currently runs on debt, right? How's that working out for you?
Well, I don't have any debt, but it's pretty much put everyone in debt,
yeah,
I guess.
But
it's put the entire nation in debt.
It's debt that got made up, right? Doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. It's a fiction. They made it up. Okay, so let's say we need money for utilities. Why don't we just make it up? All right?
It'd be nice
if we could
do what the banks could do and just type it in.
Exactly. We use the exact same debt-based currency model, invert it. You see how everything that has been inverted in our world can simply be inverted back in the direct opposite. Hey, you want some money for your home loan? Well, you're going to have to pay that money back. Here's that money for that home loan. But what about the debt to the economy and all of that kind of stuff? What debt? There's no debt attached to this money that we just created up out of thin air so that you've actually got a place to live and that you eventually have to pay all of that money back to us, maybe with a little bit of interest or whatever. But that interest isn't going to be...
A lot of interest.
That interest isn't going to be created as debt in the economy. No. We can't do that. If you have a refreshing cash system that clears these things, much like the infinite checkbook that Kevin Galilee, who's written several pages of several books, sorry, about depopulation, was offered, the infinite checkbook. At the end of the day, every day, everything that you've paid off in that checkbook gets zeroed out. You know what happens when you've got infinite money? Hey, when you don't want for anything other than what you need, your checkbook seems to be balanced.
It seems to be the case.
All right. We're all living on fictional debt anyway. Why can't we just be living on fictional credit instead? All right. If it's just a mind game and it's just a sleight of hand, then surely the trick can be used to better our lives. It happened in New Zealand during the Depression. We created a whole bunch of debt-free currency and we built a huge amount of state houses and we housed all our homeless people. And there was no problem with the homeless people after that because they had homes, you know?
What a revolutionary concept! Give the homeless people homes! Oh my God, why didn't we think of this before?
Meanwhile, in Los Angeles, city council is taking away the tiny homes donated to the homeless by an organization building tiny houses for homeless people. So the city's saying, no, you can't have your tiny homes. We're going to take them away. Although I think enough protest has happened that they've given back the tiny homes.
The inversion can always be flipped around and made right again, even with things that we thought were impossible, like genetically modified food. Can even be reversed.
Did you know that, Vinny?
In nature, everything reverts back to its natural state. So they found that when you have your contaminated fields, they get contaminated for a bit. But the contaminated stuff, the GMO stuff, it's weak. Can't actually survive regular conditions like the other stuff that's actually evolved for a long, long time to survive on planet Earth can.
That's right. Maybe we could use this as an analogy for humanity then, you know, and understand that it's not hopeless for us at this point.
Yeah. Everything's getting worse.
Our bodies and
everything's getting better and worse at the same time, okay? If somebody says something is like real bad or whatever, just don't worry. This is just the end of the world. Saying something like getting out of control, oh my God, this is about to happen, it's going to be really horrific, and they go, don't worry, it's probably a lot worse than you think it's going to be. Just... There's no need to worry. I mean, look, bro, there's just a bunch of alien parasites that are in control of the most powerful people that have ever existed on the planet with artificially intelligent technology that can track down anybody anywhere at any time and kill them. All right, what are you worried about?
I wonder how we're all still here, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Especially you and us.
Paper but tiger.
But especially you, Vinny. You've been speaking about this for years.
Okay, I don't know. All right. Why are we here? It's the question, okay? Conspiracy theorists like to twist that question, and it's like, why haven't they killed him yet? You know, I like to ask that question about things like Justin Bieber. Why?
Why, God? Oh, my God. It continues to live.
Ugh. Is Justin Bieber a female? Is Justin Bieber a transgender person?
Who cares?
I don't care. I don't really don't.
Okay, in fact, I
watched Zoolander 2, and spoiler alert.
My condolences.
Spoiler alert.
I'm not going to see it. That's okay.
It was worth seeing it just for this one joke. It's like
we
Justin
had a choice
Bieber.
To see that movie or Vaxxed, and I think we made the right choice.
Yeah, I think you
anyway,
did.
Anyway, tell us about it. It's an Illuminati movie.
Well, it's basically about assassinating famous people or whatever. And one of the famous people that gets assassinated is Justin Bieber. And later on, they're like, but you killed Justin Bieber. Why did you do that? And he's like, why did I kill Justin Bieber? Really? Really? You don't need a reason. Okay? It's like cheesecake, bro. You don't need a reason.
The question is not why did I kill him, but why didn't I do it sooner?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Sorry.
Totally. Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you, this you were talking about hopelessness and helplessness, and I wanted to bring this up because on this show we talk a lot about controlled opposition, because especially in the chemtrail movement there's a lot of people that get people to focus on the helplessness and the despair and the fear and just keep them on the hamster wheel for as long as possible and do not give any solutions to the problem, which is where we come in. But I wanted to ask you specifically, what is your experience with controlled opposition and shills in the independent media?
They, let me see.
In three words or less. Okay.
Yes or no only.
Okay. First of all, what's a shill? Can you define
it? Somebody paid somebody who is paid by an organization or the government to go mostly online and post lots of comments to kind of derail conversations.
Not someone who's grossly misinformed, someone who is legitimately paid to do that.
To go online and post a lot of comments to sort of derail conversations about important issues like GMOs or chemtrails.
Well, this has all been admitted that they've
vaccines, fluoride, etc.
Yeah, well, it's all been admitted that the governments all around the world hire people to go off and do this stuff, and so naturally you'd have to assume that some people in the alternative media are shills, right? But I haven't seen no pay stubs. And what the problem is how exactly do you tell exactly who's being paid specifically? And you can't really. So I go by a different set of rules. Now, is this person fun to listen to? Is this person telling me things that I don't already know? Is this person not repeating themselves all the time? Is this person talking at length about really interesting stuff? Does this person let others speak so that they can learn very interesting stuff? Does this person hype up crisis? Or do they tell people to be calm? Does this person attack others all the time? Or do they help others all the time? If you can look at somebody and really work out who they are, you can only do that in the alternative media by having a look at their actions, who they've been working with, what they've accomplished, what their reputation is, that kind of thing. And to be honest, because we live in a psychopathic society, and because psychopaths crave money, power, and influence, and because there's money, power, and influence to be had in any kind of media, entertainment, or whatever, there's lots of psychopaths in the truth movement, and they are loved, like absolutely loved, by their listeners and their followers, who are really devoted to them, who think that they're great, that they can do no wrong, and they'll believe everything that they say, because on the whole, what they say is mostly true. And maybe they've got guests on and stuff like that that are good guests. But it's all very well drinking filtered water. But is it filtered water from the stream or from a river of shit? Both of them taste the same. But one of them comes from a bad place.
Actually tastes worse.
I was going to say better, but hey, we can just agree to disagree on that.
I don't know about the poopy water. I think that would taste pretty bad.
Well, no, they both taste the same because they've both been filtered, right? There's only water there. There's only the truth there or whatever. But who's saying it? What does it come from? And how are they saying it? What don't you know?
Some people don't have an intuition to know. I think some people are very attuned and intuitive in a way that they could kind of see who are the real people and who are the fake people. But then again, I mean, there are people who are very good at tricking you. So if they're speaking something that sounds like truth, it is pretty easy to believe.
Talented I've seen this liars. Too. Right. So psychopaths have an unfair advantage because they can lie and do it convincingly. That gives them an unfair advantage in any situation. So truth person will come up and say such and such and blah, 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 you're a scumbag. And the scumbag will lie and say, you're just a pedophile, or you're doing it for the money, or you work for the FBI, etc. And they can make up these incredible, horrible lies right off of the bat, that they didn't even have to prepare. They've got an unfair advantage, and all of a sudden everybody hates you and thinks that you're a terrible person because they said such and such right off the top of their head after you've done research for like weeks, months, watching for years and trying to expose somebody, and then their followers will just turn around, look at what you've produced and say, nah, he can't do no wrong. Okay, that's the power of the psychopath. That's the power of the lie. I've said for a while now that lies are far more powerful than truth. You know, a lot of people will disagree with me, but just think about it. The truth doesn't change. It is unmoving. It doesn't adapt to different situations. The truth is uncomfortable. It's difficult to swallow. Lies bring you comfort. Lies bring you happiness and pleasure and joy. Everything that you think that you want, the truth doesn't give you that to a large degree until after you've already swallowed that bitter pill and gone through the grief process. Because that grief process is pretty nasty when you wake up and you go, well, son, you're 7 years old now, so I'm going to give you through your rite of passage. What's that, Dad? Well, I'm going to tell you how the world really works. Oh, okay. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you to a mind control institution that's run by the state. It's called a school, okay? Now, over there, you're going to have a central authority figure, and you're going to get ostracized if you behave any different to the others, and in an effort to basically stifle your creativity and ability to question it all. And after you've done that, then we're going to send you to a higher learning institution where they're going to indoctrinate you with a whole bunch of bullshit. And then you're going to go into an even better paid job where you're going to have a hell of a lot of debt for the rest of your life, and that doesn't, and a job that doesn't inspire you creatively whatsoever. And then you're going to die, and you're going to pass on what meager earnings that you came up with during your life onto your kids so that they can be perpetual slaves too. Okay, thanks, Dad. Good on you. Off to school you go.
Yeah, but they don't tell us any of that. And then furthermore, now they're vaccinating children at birth, you know. So kids are getting, heavy metals and chemicals injected into their bodies, polluted water, polluted food. They're getting indoctrinated. And the mom puts a baby monitor in the bedroom, which is an EMF energy weapon that damages the babies. Then they go to the indoctrination facility. And on that facility, the school, because they're out of money, they've been paid to have a cell phone tower put on there. So the kids are getting zapped constantly, and they've got the free Wi-Fi in the school. So the kids are just constantly living under this frequency fence, getting headaches, feeling sick, eating school lunches, which are completely unnutritious. I don't think anybody tells us anything. You know, it'd be nice to know this stuff earlier in life.
We need to be angry.
And on top of that, listening to Justin Bieber.
Right, exactly. And the music that they're listening to, it's like you can't believe children are being exposed to this music, which isn't music at all.
I like to be angry. I like to be upset because I think there's a lot of things to be angry and upset about. I like to laugh as well. So what I like to do is combine those two. Seriously, get angry and laugh at the same time. You find that they balance each other out. And it's the only way to really survive the madness is to go with it. You know, it's like if you've accidentally been drugged or something, but it's actually a pretty good drug that you could have done if you hadn't known about it. Just go with it.
That's what we love about you is you're funny. And I've given this example before. You know, we're being depopulated, we're being poisoned, but why can't we have fun while we're here? I've given the example many times of this video that I think is hysterical. Have you seen the President Obama "Thank You Satan" video on YouTube?
No.
Okay, so they take these speeches of Obama's and play them backwards, and everything he says is satanic. And every time he says, "Yes, we can," when it's played backwards, it says, "Thank you, Satan." And some of the stuff he says is really outlandish and really hilarious, but I know people who literally thought that video was chilling or disturbing or upsetting, and to me it was just hysterical because I can laugh at the parasitic, psychopathic rulers, and I think it's funny.
And they don't like that.
Because it dispels their fear paradigm. You know, you're no longer in a shock state. Because I noticed this. Think about this. Pick a talk radio show host in the alternative circuit and go listen to a show of theirs. All right. Really listen to it. Like maybe with your eyes closed or something like that, just as an experiment. And after it's finished, turn it off and then ask yourself, how do you feel? What are you left with? Not the knowledge and that kind of thing, but how do I feel? Do
often
I feel
fear?
I feel exhausted a lot of times.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
And then I listen to one of my own shows, and I feel energized afterwards. I feel happier, and I think it's because I'm listening to really terrible stuff that's being laughed about at the same time and dispelling the natural fear and anxiety that I have. Because maybe the show, the Vinnie Eastwood show, is just therapy for me. It's just everybody else is in on the session.
I feel extremely Jewish after listening to our shows.
Oh, very much so. But anyway. Well, we really appreciate that you can dispel a lot of fear through humor. I wish more people would just lighten up a little bit. I mean, it's bad, sure, but, you know, we've got to enjoy our lives, even while the world seems to be crumbling around us.
And crumbling it is, and worse it will get. So I kind of fancy myself as a philosopher, because I never finished university, so...
Okay. Did you drop out, or did you start?
I deliberately dropped out. I was just like, bugger this. I'm making like a couple of grand a week at the age of like 22. I'm not going to university, man. and it was just the thing. You go from having it all to having nothing. And honestly, right now, I haven't got really any spare cash or whatever. But I'm free. I don't have anybody telling me on a day-to-day basis what to do other than my wife. And that's good. So this is Vinnie Eastwood's 6 rules for fighting an endless war against scumbaggery. Number 1, I'm going to die anyway, so I'd rather die fighting. Number 2, I probably can't win, but I have a moral obligation to resist. 3, I'm terrified of what might happen to me, but I'm even more terrified of what might happen if I do nothing. Number 4, just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed?
Number exactly.
Yeah, and 5 and 6 you've heard, don't worry, it's just the end of the world. and number 6, don't stress, things are probably a lot worse than you think.
Excellent. Well, Vinny, you do deserve the support. You shouldn't be cashless, so people can donate to you. Please give your website again.
Hey, I just figured it out. You know why they call it a cashless society? Because everyone's going to be a broke-ass motherfucker. Like me.
Exactly. We're all broke.
We're already a cashless society, man. I ain't got no money.
Website again, please, so people know where to send their Federal Reserve notes to.
You can send your legal tender, preferably encased in the Colonel's secret recipe, to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, care of the little PayPal buttons there that have a little drop-down thingy, ranging from a couple of bucks a week or to a dollar a month or however much you want to spend. If you got 5 grand, you got 500 bucks, you got 100 bucks a month, you want to start donating over here so that I can maybe get an intern in to start editing a lot of the incredibly ridiculous massive workload of really funny shit that isn't uploaded to YouTube yet, go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. Or you can go to my YouTube channel. If you search Vinny Eastwood on YouTube, you can go to it and click on all the little Google ads and things like that that pop up there. I'm not sure how the revenue system really works on that, but I get, like, I don't know, a couple of hundred bucks a month from Google ads on YouTube to help pay their bills and whatnot. So yes, every little bit counts.
I'll remember to click on those Google ads instead of closing them next time.
I will click fervently on them.
Yeah, because usually I close those ads quickly, so I'll remember that. That's thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
That's .com, not .gov.
And Vinny has an excellent show here on American Freedom Radio, so you can check it out here or check out the archives. And our website, again, is thekembo.com for everything that you need to know about geoengineering, electromagnetic pollution, and what you can do to get rid of this stuff from your life using orgone energy.
And the weather war in California, the ongoing weather war, fought in real time and recorded in real time. That's thekembo.tumblr.com if you'd like to check that out. We have links to our Etsy shop, and we have these nice couple events coming up. Next Saturday, we'll be talking at the Unurban Cafe in Santa Monica at the LA Skywatch meeting. And the weekend after that, June 3rd through 5th, Contact in the Desert out in Joshua Tree, a couple hours east of Los Angeles. We got some great speakers out there. Jim Mars, Graham Hancock. I'm really looking forward to it. And Laura Eisenhower, of course. And we will have a vending booth. Come see us there. You've been listening to The Human Frequency on American Freedom Radio. Thank you, Vinny.
And thank you. As the Nazis say, we will see you later.
Thank you so much, Vinny. It's been great.
You've been listening to The Human Frequency.